That so much. Hello, friends. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from the studio here at Third Stage Ranch on this special podcast. And when I say special, I mean this is legit special. A few weeks ago on a Sunday, I was doing the meet and greet, as I always do, in between the services for all the first-time visitors. There was a beautiful Asian lady that was in there, and she said, "Hey, do you remember me? Do you know my name?" And she said, "My name is Mary Benny." And I'm like, "Mary Benny," like, I have actually heard that name before. I instantly thought, man, she's TV or she's radio or she's something like that. No, she's a lady that called me several years ago. She was in India. She was tracking some Nepalese girls that had been, they were being sex trafficked. They had been stolen. It's a terrible story. But actually, she was involved in getting these two sisters and then getting them back to their families in a nation in Nepal. She heard that we actually fund that and that we do those kinds of efforts. She called me out of the blue. I decided to trust her and just go, "You know what? I'm going to believe that this is the Lord. This is an $8,000 bill. I don't know you from Adam, but I'm going to believe that this is the Lord." She did know a very good friend of mine, and my friend vouched for her and said, "No, she does amazing things." We sent her the money, and quite frankly, I never heard from her again. That was 2 years ago. She was saying, "Do you remember me?" And I was like, "I do remember that." And she said, "I want to FaceTime these girls that I rescued because they love you. And I'm here in Fort Worth, Texas." And I said, "I've got to go meet Troy face to face." And I was like, "What?" You know what? Today, guys, you're actually going to be hearing just a few minutes after I met her for the very first time. I said, "Come up here in a third service. Let's just you and I do a church service together." And I just pulled her up on the stage and she shared the story. She's an amazing human being and she's doing incredible things. Guys, God has so many people out there that are doing such incredible things, and this is one of them. Guys, enjoy this and I'll see you at the end of this broadcast. Boom. Well, friends, I want to welcome you here today in this special third service here at Open Door. And, you know, I get a front row seat to so many good things. This last week has just been an incredible week. I've seen God do so many amazing things in so many different ways. And then, of course, my bride came home from Uganda, East Africa on Tuesday, right on. And if on Tuesday evening you looked west out towards Glenrose and saw lightning, that was not a storm. That was Leanna and I kissing for the first time in 3 weeks. Oh, yeah. Powerful. Powerful. Telling you, powerful. And she was rescuing people and doing amazing things. And it was absolutely incredible. I was just so happy. My world is so much better with Leanna in it. Just so much better. And so she'd just come back. And in the midst of that, we're unpacking all these things that have happened and have taken place over the past 3 weeks in Uganda. And then my phone started to ring, and it was just a real random thing at first. A girl in India that we'd rescued years ago. And she's like, "Hi, Dad." She contacts me through WhatsApp. "Hi, Daddy." And I'm like, "Hello, sweet friend. How are you?" "I am well. How is my mother?" And I can't have an estrogen fit while I'm sitting up here. Okay. No, it's just stupid to get up and cry in front of people, and I don't like that. So I'm not going to. But with that said, there have been a lot of things that have really touched my heart this week in a really cool and really next level way. And then to top it all off, something happened today between the second and the third service. I always meet the first time visitors in there. And we have people from all over the United States. I meet this girl and her name is Mary. And she said, "Do you know me?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I do not." And she said, "My name is Mary Benny." And I'm like, "Do you know that name?" And I'm trying to figure out how I know you. And she said, "I called you back in 2018, I contacted you because I heard that there's a crazy church in Texas that rescues women out of sexual slavery all over the world." And she begins to tell me her story. And the story goes something like this. She got connected with the mafia in India. She's a very brave person. She and her husband pastor a church in San Diego. And she was over there working with the mafia. And they gave her permission to get into 7 different brothels once a month to tell these girls about Jesus. Now there's, you'll see here in just a minute. And she came across 2 girls that desperately needed to be rescued. 2 girls from Nepal that had been promised a job. And as soon as they got across, their sisters, and as soon as they got across the border, they were beat up, drugged, raped until they became submissive to a brothel, like what happens to so many women and that you and I are trying so desperately to rescue. She, in talking with the mafia and in gaining the trust of the mafia, and because the favor of the Lord is with her, she said, "I want to buy these girls. You got to let me get these girls out of this." These 2 young women that are sisters. And they said, "Okay, we'll sell them to you for $4,000 a piece." She contacted us because she heard of us through a friend of a friend of a friend. So there's this crazy church in Texas that does crazy things like that. I didn't know this lady from Adam. I had never met this lady, but one of the contacts that she had is one of my very trusted friends. And they tell me this lady's legit and she's trying really hard to rescue these 2 girls. So we sent thousands of dollars over there. And this amazing lady was able to rescue those 2 sisters with the money that we sent her. Well, if the story stopped there, that would be a great story, but that's not the end of the story. One of them was literally near death. She was so injured from working in this brothel that she was literally bleeding to death. And she could have died, and the Lord saved her life. She worked with this lady very, very, very closely. She also worked with her sister very, very, very closely. Both of them fell in love with Jesus. Both of them gave their hearts to the Lord. She set them up. She fed them. She told them whenever they left the brothel, "Well, we got some things to get." And she said, "You don't need anything but the clothes on your back. Let's go right now, right this second." She actually got these girls back to Nepal. And once she got the girls back to Nepal, discovered that it was their daddy that had sold them into sexual slavery. And their dad was not happy at all that she had brought them back. They were not aware that the slavery thing had happened because of their dad. And so that began a whole new process of miracles that need to be worked and how you work through all this kind of stuff. She worked through every bit of it. And now both of these girls are saved and rescued in every way that a girl can be saved and rescued. Right on. Incredible. I brought her into the office and she had lunch with Leanna and I. And I told her, I said, "Why don't you just let me bring you up here on the stage? Because everybody's got to hear this story." Guys, she's here in the house right now. And I want to invite my friend, Mary, over here. Everybody go, "Yay, Mary." Mary Benny, Pastor Mary Benny. Welcome. Have a seat. My goodness, am I surprised to see you.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
I'm so surprised to see you. I had no idea I was going to meet you today.
I'm so blessed to be here. And I've been trying to connect with you. We chatted for a while on the Facebook and you don't know me, so it's okay.
Well, a lot of people reach out to me on Facebook.
But I live in San Diego, so I came in. So I told my friend Linda, we have to go to his church and I have to meet him and his wife. And at least tell them thank you for the money that they gave so that I could rescue the 2 sisters.
Okay, so you and your husband pastor a church near San Diego.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you do that. And you're originally from India.
Yes, I'm from the country of India, the eastern part of India that's called Nagaland, where border with China. That's why I look more like a Chinese than more Indian. So
right on. And Leanna and I have been there.
We've
been
there several times. Oh yeah, that's why she told me Dimapur. Yeah. Yes.
We've been there. We stomped around there. We've done amazing things there. We know your part of the world very, very well.
Yes, thank you.
And somehow, some way, you started rescuing. So guys, see if this sounds familiar to you. okay? Because she doesn't know, okay? She doesn't know me and she doesn't know what we do. She started feeding kids and families in the trash dump, okay? And then she's, right? Yeah, so we did too. That's how Leanna and I started, okay? And that's when the trouble starts, right?
Yes.
That's when the Lord starts telling you to do crazy things.
I know, and you said, no. Anything else, Lord, but not there. It's not a good place. You know, I can become a victim, you know, because you created me a little more beautiful, so.
That's what I say. I say, listen, Pastor Mary, I honestly complain to the Lord about how beautiful God has created me. And it's a constant thing.
Yes, absolutely. You know, like, 12 plus years ago when the Lord started putting in my heart, I said, God, you should be happy that, you know, my husband and we have planted churches and we have an orphanage, we have school for the slum kids. You should be happy with that. Why are you telling me to go and work, you know, the rescue women? But the Lord started putting in my heart more harder. The more I said no, he would put more. So I did a research for 5 years. I read every books that I can read. I'm a great reader. You give me books, I will just read like that.
I can read.
Yes, I'm a reader too. Yeah. So I started reading books, you know, how to go in and rescue the women or to get connected to the mafia. There was no way. I said, God, I have read almost all the books in the world, but there's no connection. How to go in? If I just go in, I'll become a victim. But God has his own timing. Timing.
Preach it.
Amen. And I got connected to this mafia guy out of nowhere. I don't want to tell the details because this goes air.
Can I interrupt you? Can I just tell you this? Here's how crazy this lady is, okay? Because she's crazy. She's cray, cray, crazy, this lady is. She was at an event talking to for no reason, she turned to this person, started talking to this person, telling them, I want to go into brothels. I want to rescue people. I want to do this. And for a long, long, long time. And then this person handed her a piece of paper, wrote down a number and said, call this person and this person will help you. The person left. The person never had a conversation with her one single time. She believes that that was an angel of the Lord. She believes that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I believe because I was narrating this to my friend Linda sitting there and she said, you know, Mary Benny is an angel because she never talked to you, didn't say a word to you. Because she kept staring at me like this. And I was just boring myself. In the end, she had the number in her head. She wrote the number and the name. And I was so excited. It was late night already in India. The next day when I called him, he was excited to hear a woman calling, you know, because I didn't know him who he is. But I got to know later on, you know, that he is one of the biggest guy. I don't care. At this point,
the mafia.
Yes.
This guy was a big mafia person.
And we got connected and I told him what I have to tell him. This is what God is telling me to come into the brothel and tell the women about Jesus, that Jesus loves them and rescue them. Would you allow me to come into the brothel? And this mafia man is just looking at me. Are you out of your mind? So I met him in the coffee shop first. And from the coffee shop, he said, come and meet me in my office. I said, yes. And I met him in his office and I told him the same thing, what I told him in the coffee shop. And he said, give me some time, I will get back to you. After a few days, he called me back, Mary Benny, I don't know why I'm saying yes to you, but I'm saying yes to you.
Okay. Hey, let me talk to all the guys in here for just a minute. Okay, can I just talk to the dudes in here for just a minute? Let's say your wife loves Jesus. And one day she comes to you and she says, husband, I've been talking to this guy that's the head of the mafia and he owns all these women and all these children and he owns all these brothels. And I've been going in and out of all these brothels preaching Jesus and it's time for you to know about it.
That's what I did. Yeah. I never told my husband in the beginning because he will not let me go.
He wouldn't let you. Of course he would. Yeah. So, okay. So can I just say, so you started going, Mary, and you started preaching Jesus. This guy had seven brothels.
He has more than seven, but I didn't want to go into too many where I wouldn't be able to reach out to the women. I just want to do more deep work than the surface. So I choose just seven.
Okay. Only seven. Okay. Yes. Only seven brothels. Okay. Again, here in this nice church setting, it's a lot like, if you could go back through time, wouldn't you right now, wouldn't you do whatever you could do to help an American slave? Wouldn't you do whatever you, okay, it's one thing to sit here and think you could do that. It's another thing to actually be in that scenario and to risk absolutely everything because you're an abolitionist, right? Okay. I know how brave you have to be to do that. And I'm just so proud of you. You started going in there and I want to say publicly to you that I love you, Mary. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful for you. I shake my head when I look at you.
Man, you know, when God gives you a dream and a vision, He will also give you the protection. He will give you the courage. Because like in the Bible, David, when he saw Goliath, he was so scared of Goliath. He said, he's too big to miss.
He's such a preacher. That's outstanding.
I'm a preacher's daughter, so I'm a preacher. My dad is a first generation Christian. I thank the Americans from the depth of my heart, because you guys sent a missionary to our land. My dad got saved. I'm a second generation Christian.
So Mary, how many times have you been in a brothel now? How many times?
I can't count. I don't know how to count. Like, till I came to San Diego and we started the church. Before that, every month I used to go in. Every month I used to go to different brothels, because every brothel we were given once a month. So we used to go almost every week to different brothels, seven brothels. We go in, we take food, we take all the necessary, you know, like hygiene that the women needs. We take them, and we even take some vitamins for the women, give it to them, spend time with them, share the love of Jesus Christ, eat with them. When we first went in, I told my church ladies, we are going to go for the first time to this place. If you're going to come in with your like this and not willing to sit on the floor, you are not going to come with me.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome.
If you are willing to come and sit on the floor, eat with them, hug them, love them, you are welcome. Otherwise, so I don't want.
Does this woman sound like our tribe or what? Again, I never met her until today. That's exactly the way that we are, Mary. We're very much that way.
Amen.
Very much that way. So you begin to have opportunities to rescue women.
It's like countless. I have rescued young girls as young as 6-year-old and a woman as old as 52-year-old. The woman that I rescued, 52-year-old, she was sold by her husband at the age of 23, brought her to the city of New Delhi, telling her that he got a good job in the city, brought her, sold her to the brothel. She never knew what brothel is all about. She could not get out. And since she was 52-year-old, I just paid $1,700 to rescue her.
Yep, that's awesome. Mary, I talk a lot about rescuing people, and just from January to this year, we've rescued over 2,400
wow.
people this year.
Praise God.
But I really cannot, and it's through working with people exactly like you. I'm obviously not the guy that's out there going into these brothels and bringing them in, not anymore. At a time, it was only me. It was just me.
Wow.
And then the Lord gave us a whole network of people.
Mm-hmm.
And now, whenever I look at somebody like you, you know, again, you have no support. You had no idea what you were doing. You just had a word from the Lord and you went.
I just went.
And you had nobody that understood you. That's another thing. And I understand that. I know what it's like to have a vision and be involved in it and not have any support. You know, I had my wife. My wife has always supported me. But I mean, for everybody just to think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you? Okay. Well, you're even worse than me. You're crazier than I am. You're a crazy lady.
Yes.
And we love that.
Yes. You know, this is what I learned over the course of years being in the ministry. If you are not daring to walk on waters, I'll say that a little harder. You are not fit to be in King's business.
So I tell everyone, and if you are a Christian and if you're worried about what if, you need to repent and you need to move into even if.
Amen. Amen. You have to, because the kingdom of God is all about that. That, you know, even if, what do we, you know, the Paul talks about, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Are you living? You're just coming and warming the church pew. We don't need to come in and warm the church pew. God doesn't need people to come and warm the church pew. There's so many people to go to church just to warm the church pew. Or they just go to church to fit their conscience that on Sunday I went to church. No!
From the very beginning, the Lord has called our tribe to be the hands and the feet of King Jesus to the poor and to the world's most vulnerable. We have been demonstrating the heart of the Lord in at least 53 nations throughout the world by building nearly 100 water wells, schools and homes for orphans, leprosy villages in India, and even now, we are feeding more than 3,000 people every single week right here in the United States through our local food banks. Several years ago, we built a massive effort to save boys and girls from the terrors of sexual slavery. You know, the number of redeemed children is now in the thousands, thousands of kids rescued, and those numbers are growing every single day. When you partner with Troy Brewer Ministries, not only are you helping me preach the gospel, but you're actually helping me demonstrate it through selfless acts of redemption and also helping us see a little boy or a little girl saved in every way that a child can be saved. We know we can't do it alone, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider being a part of our tribe. When you call us today or when you go to troybrewer.com and once you partner with us, not only will you receive the blessing of God for this great kingdom effort, but you will also receive free access to our video teaching platform at troybrewer.tv. It's video on demand, point, click, and have your life change. It's all of my school of ministry, all of my school of prophecy, all of my videos called Numbers That Preach, all of my pulpit teaching, and even all of my conferences with guests from all over the planet Earth. This is our free gift to all of our monthly partners, and I encourage you to take advantage of it. Go to troybrewer.com and partner with us today.
The book of Romans chapter 10, I just want to read this. You guys know it very well because you are from a Troy's church, so you know the word very well, but we're still going to read for you. Just hit your conscience a little bit.
That's okay, go ahead.
Romans chapter 10. Verse 14 onwards, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. If you go to the YouTube, you'll find me, my preaching. I preach on that. Is your feet beautiful? Or is your feet stinging? I'm not talking about the ladies, like all of us, even the men, the manicure, pedicure that we do. Before I came here, I went and did manicure, pedicure to look nice. But that, I'm not talking about that. Is your feet beautiful today? If you haven't shared the love of Jesus Christ to somebody in your lifetime, your feet stinks. And that's what I preach in my church. I don't want a stinking feet in my church.
Yeah, we love you. Listen, we love you. Okay, all right, so sister, we need you to tell us, because it's almost time to close.
Yes.
You have to tell us about these two sisters you rescued, and we helped fund it. So we got to hear that story. Tell me.
So in 2018, when I went to India, I went to this brothel and met these two sisters. And there were so many of them, but God put it in my heart to rescue these two. So I talked to the mafia guy, said, how much do I pay if I want to rescue these two? They said, $8,000, $4,000 each. I came back to US and I came to Texas, stayed with my friend, went to the Eglo Women's Ministry and shared with them. And I went back to San Diego. And then I got connected to Shivana through you and us and another friend. And she connected me to you. And they said, okay, we are going to give for one of the girls $4,000. And another lady from here said, I will give you for one girl $4,000. I got $8,000. I got back in 2019, January. And I converted the money and took the money to give it to the mafia guy. When you convert $8,000, it's...
Yeah, okay, listen. I want to tell you, if she did nothing but that, you have no idea how brave she had to be. Me and Leanna's been in that position. And I want to tell you, when you leave the bank, you leave with a big thing of money. And you have to walk through people with a mountain of cash. I promise you, she did that. I know, okay? And then, did you take a cab?
I took a cab.
Okay, can you imagine? Can you imagine you're a young, beautiful woman on the other side of the world, converted to a mountain of cash, walk out of the bank with a mountain of cash, walk into a cab in front of everybody with a mountain of cash. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. I'll continue to tell everybody what she means by this, because I know what it means.
Anything could have happened to me. The cab driver could have done anything or anything. I went there, gave the money, met the mafia guy, gave the money, and he said, well, go pick up the girl from the brothel. I was straight to pick up the girl from the brothel, and they told me, as soon as I reached there, the older one said, oh, I'm not well, I cannot get out today, tomorrow only I'll get out. I said, oh my God, these people took my money, they're not going to get out, and now what will I tell the sponsor? They will think I have added up the money.
All right, so listen, it is a common thing to move the world to rescue somebody, and then you go to rescue them, and they're like, I don't think I want to go. Hey, look, it happened to us just a few weeks ago. We were rescuing somebody in Dallas. Remember I told you guys pray, because right this second, we are rescuing somebody in Dallas. We moved heaven and earth, and she was like, I don't think I'm going to go. See, let me tell you something. You don't judge. I promise you, Harriet Tubman came to so many slaves and said, let's go. And they went, uh-uh. Yeah. I don't need that trouble. I've got a little bit in this world that works, and I'm going to hold on to it. So this is also a common thing that we have to deal with all the time. Yes. All right, go ahead.
So she said, I'm not well. I don't want to get out today. So tomorrow only. I went home so sad. I literally cried. I said, God, what will I tell the sponsors? They will not believe me, because nobody saw what happened between us. So, but Lord, you know it. You know my heart. You're going to work. Then I told the two girls that tomorrow I'll come back and pick you up. Make sure you get dressed and wait for me. So I prayed the whole night, the whole morning. I went to the brothel to pick them up. They were ready to get out.
Yay.
I picked them up. I told them, you are not going to take anything from the brothel. Just the clothes that you're wearing, you're getting out with me. I took them out. went to the store, directly bought all sets of new, brand new clothes, went to their home to drop them. To my surprise, got to know that it was the father, because the moment the mother saw the two girls, she hugged them and she cried and cried and cried. The father, when he saw us, he gave such a stinging look at me and the two girls and left, never got back. I asked the mother, did your husband ever made a police complaint of two missing girls? She said, yes. So I said, okay. I went around all the police station to ask if there was any report made. I have their pictures. I said, these are the two picked girls. Any complaint made of two missing girls? They said no. I told the two girls that it was your father. They got so mad at me. How dare you say that our father? So I have to get the proof from the police station. I told the police station, give me in written. They gave me in written. I went to so many police stations nearby, took it in written. I took to the girls and said, look this. You didn't believe me, but the cops are not lying. Your father is involved. You are not safe in your own home. You need to get out with me. I took them out again from their own home, brought them back, put them in YWCA.
Wow. So how old were these girls?
24, 27.
24 and 27.
Yes. Wow.
So they're sisters, right?
Yeah, they're sisters. And the older one met a guy. She wanted to get married. And I didn't want her to get married because she just got over. She had terrible bleeding. She nearly died out of bleeding. And she was told by the doctor that she should not get married, you know, within a year, you know, in 1 year period, she should keep a gap. But she met this guy and they were so in love. They want to get married. I intervened my best. Not.
Don't do it.
How can you set them apart when somebody's in love? You know, like, okay. So I told her, I'm going to talk to him. So in my mind, I said, if I tell him that she's like that, maybe he will leave her. So I talked to him. She said, no, don't talk to him. He will leave me. I don't care. I talked to him. And he said, give me some time. I'll get back to you. So I was thinking, he will never call me back. He will leave her. But he got me back. And he said, I love her. I am still willing to marry her. And he's a Hindu. He's not a Christian. But I have to put my foot down. I said, this is what it is. She loves the Lord. She reads the Bible. She goes to church. You're going to marry her. You will not stop her. Going to church, reading the Bible and praying. Remember, she has an older sister and you don't know who you're dealing with. And he said, yes.
My God. So she had to threaten his brother. And now he actually tells, even though he's got 3 million gods, he tells her, pray to your Jesus,
yes,
because he's more powerful than my,
yes,
3 million gods.
So whenever he's in a problem, he tells his wife, you know, pray to your Jesus. Your Jesus is more powerful.
Yeah. So this is a great illustration. And it's something that's very hard to articulate to everybody. Is when you rescue somebody, there is a very, very, very relational process of a lot of messy humanity. And you have to love these people enough to walk them through,
yes,
all of these things,
yes,
over and over and over again. And that's why whenever we were in there eating, which you didn't eat anything, by the way. Are you not hungry? What's your problem? You didn't like my food? Okay.
I'm very picky.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what you can see.
So anyway, man, when you were telling me this, I was just sitting there. I know. I understand who you are. I understand how much you love these girls because you stay with them through the entire process. And guys, it would just be so much easier to rescue somebody, take them to the home and be done and say, that is enough. But it's not enough. You have to walk them through that. And which means your commitment is open-ended.
Yes.
It's never ending.
Absolutely.
You can't tell a church board how much money it's going to cost because you don't have any idea.
Absolutely.
And you don't know if it's a 1 month commitment or a 30-year commitment.
Yes, absolutely.
You have no idea every single time.
Yes. It's not just a money commitment, but emotional encouragement commitment. You know, like I'm staying with Linda. Sometimes I get a call around 2 o'clock in the morning. My husband and me, we sleep very less because when it is our midnight, it's morning, daytime. And somebody is in a problem and they call us. So, you know, it's not just a money commitment. Money commitment is lesser than emotional commitment that they need from you once you rescue them. Because they are constantly needing, because they have been traumatized from all these things. You know, I want to share with you, you know, before we finish that. When we first went in, the women out there, they was talking to me and they told me that, Mary Benny, you don't know what we go through. One of the ladies took me to the corner and she literally removed her clothes and showed me her body. I could not believe, because I grew up in such a protected, loving home. I don't know what abuse this is all about. I've never seen, never heard. Even verbal abuse I've never experienced in my life. So I could not comprehend. So I was thinking that all their stories, maybe they're making up or like that at the back of my mind. I was like that. I didn't say a word, but in my mind, I was thinking, I looked at her body. I was like, okay. I was touched. I was really touched. But I was a little judgmental. Maybe they're making up the story like that. When I went second time, the same lady who took me to the corner, took me back to the corner, and she said, that day when I was sharing with you, you thought I'm making up the story. How did you know that? I cried and hugged her and I said, I am sorry. I am so sorry. You know, literally their body is like, I have no word to say. It's like, I just can't comprehend how human can do to another human like that. I just cannot comprehend. When I started this ministry, I was so broken. I went into 2 months into depression because, as I said, I grew up in a protected, loving home. I could not take all the thing that these women were going through. 2 months, I was so depressed. I could not talk. I didn't meet anybody. I was just in my room, cried. You know, you guys don't know what these women go through. Especially those women that are like brought in and sold into prostitution. They are kept in a small little room, like in a dungeon. The little girl, 6-year-old who I rescued, she was dying. Every time when we go, I would see her sitting in the corner and keep crying and crying. So I asked, why is she always crying and sitting in the corner? They told me she's dying. I said, why aren't you taking her to the hospital? They did like that. I said, will you allow me to take her to the hospital and be treated? They said, yes. I paid nothing because she was already dying, so they didn't charge me any money for the 6-year-old girl. I rescued her. I took her out. And the little girl didn't want to go with me. She cried because she thought I was taking her to another place. She's used to that. She cried and cried, but we still took her and treated her. And doctor gave her 3 years survival. Because at that young age, she already have HIV. Most of her body organs were removed. She was bleeding to death. 3 years. And the Hindu doctor who was treating her told me that, you know, why are you spending so much money? She has just 3 years survival. I said, no. No. She has more years to live. She has more years to live. God didn't bring me into her life so that she will live just 3 years. And today, she's almost 19 years old and she's still alive.
Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Listen, could you stand up with me?
Thank you, ma'am.
Can I ask you guys to stand up? Listen, I just wanted to bring my brave new friend up here. Isn't she awesome? Isn't she great? And I want us
all to pray for you. Can we please
pray
for you? And everybody stretch your hands towards Pastor Mary.
I just want to say something. Yeah. It has been in my heart for years that the kids that are born into the brothel, when they are younger, before they come to an age when they can start working, I'm allowed to take them out from the brothel without paying a penny. So pray for me that I am praying that I want to open up a home for them. I want to bring them to my orphanage, but you know, India, because of the caste system, the government doesn't allow me to bring the kids that are born into the brothel to bring them to my orphanage, because according to Hindu mythology, these kids that are born into the brothel are the god of creation is called Brahma. So these kids that are born into the brothel are from the lowest caste. They are from Brahma's soul, the lowest caste. So they are not allowed to mingle with my kids in the orphanage. I cannot work against the government. So that's the policy. So this is what I've been praying, that very soon, you know, God will give me the grace to open up a home for these kids, that I can take them out without paying a penny.
Yep.
Amen.
All right. So Father God, sir, we pray, God, that you'd make this happen.
Amen.
Pray, God, that you'd make a way, sir, where there is no way. I thank you, God, for the way, God, that my sister carries your presence, she and her husband, Lord God, and how that they walk with you, Lord God, and she's brave, she's holy, she's on target. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you'd do an even greater work in her and through her. God, we declare, Father God, sir, the rescue and the redemption of those people, Lord God Almighty, sir, that you have marked. And Lord Jesus, sir, you see them and you know them right now. And I pray, God, that you would protect them and see to it, God, that they are rescued and saved in every way that a woman or a child can be. And I love you and praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow. Okay. Yeah. How about them apples? Right on. How about them apples? And I want to just encourage you and tell you this. I know that there's a lot of stuff that you guys are involved in that are messy and ugly, and you might not have language for it. You might not know how to answer it. Do it anyway. Do what God Almighty's called you to do. Well, so there you have it. A moment, a miracle moment that we were actually able to catch on tape. And I'm so glad that we did. And I'm also glad that you got to hear it. Yeah, what an incredible human being. What amazing things you and I get a front row seat to see. How blessed are we? And it's just incredible. It truly is. Friends, I want to tell you that when you partner with me, these are the kind of people that you're helping. And if you're not partnering with me, I would like to ask you to please carefully, I should say prayerfully, consider partnering with me. As this is living proof of the kind of stuff that we do all the time, have been doing for a very long time. And look at what God is doing. It's just incredible, man. It's absolutely incredible. If you're not partnering with me, would you please call 877-413-0888 or simply go to troybrewer.com and say, you know what? This is my tribe and I have got to be a part of this. Guys, I love you so much and I call you blessed. Be sure and tell people about my podcast. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.